And we're live. Welcome everybody here to your favorite day of the week. I am Anthony Irwin, joined on this fine Friday afternoon, my time, late morning, his time, by Aaron Larsoul, he of the original Hook. He was my original Hook co-host that we used to do this every week. It used to be a thing that we always used to do. And then he got really busy and I started taking content in a different direction that we needed to kind of calm things down a little bit. Now here we are. Aaron, how you holding up, bud?
Better than I deserve. Let's get it. Happy to be back.
I truly am. Now, I was getting asked about this. I probably get asked about it like 6-7 times a month. I'm not kidding.
Still?
You know, and you would think at some point it would dissipate. But no, people liked our combination, liked us talking shit, it was always a really fun combination. And now we are back here at least this one time and hopefully more moving forward.
I get asked, or somebody will come up to me at a game every once in a while and they'll just walk up to me and just say Hennessy is delicious and walk on. So so yeah, even that caught on, I guess.
If we can give any one thing, or if we could have given any one thing to society and humanity, that phrase is I'm fine with that being the thing.
Well, I don't know if you have alcohol sponsorship on the platform here, but if so, if Hennessy sponsors your show, I will come back permanently. How about that? Do the right thing, Hennessy.
I think there. No, that was LeBron.
Didn't we do unnamed cognac? Until they
actually, you know, fit the bill. They are still unnamed cognac
until a couple dollars hit your pockets.
Yeah. So today on the show, the Lakers will play their 10th game of the season tomorrow, and that usually, like, teams kind of analyze their season in 10 game increments, and I'm taking that opportunity to do so now, even though the Lakers, I think, have played more games than just about everybody in the league. They and the Warriors have really front loaded the Lakers and Warriors.
Both have played 9. Yeah.
Yeah. They've really front loaded the Lakers and Warriors schedules early on, and cynical me points to the ratings being up as perhaps why they would do such a thing. But I do think, though, that, like, you know, the 10 game mark here for the Lakers, and as more teams approach that 10 game mark, we also are in they're getting ready to play another weekend of NBA Cup games.
Yeah, tonight. Yeah.
Weekend of that. Uh-huh. So I would say it's a good time to kind of take stock of at least the Western Conference. The East is such dog shit that I don't really want to talk about them. Yeah. So we're going to talk about the West.
The Cavs are decent. The Knicks are decent. Milwaukee looks a little better than I thought. That's about the extent of it.
Yeah, we got it covered.
That's about the extent of it.
Yep. Orlando kind of sucks.
Yeah,
Miami kind of sucks.
Detroit's in.
Chicago's surprising.
Chicago, there you go. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
All right. With the
strangest defensive profile I've ever seen, by the way.
You know what I want? I want some sponsor to come in and like sponsor me talking about the East for 3 seconds.
You got to do. Actually, I haven't seen since I came from TNT. I've seen a little bit of ESPN on the inside the NBA. Do they still do EJ Saturday Night sponsored by no one?
Nobody. I'm not gonna lie. I haven't watched a single episode of Inside the NBA.
Okay. Maybe the chat will tell us if they still. I don't know if they.
My thing is.
The reason I'm saying is because you could do your 3 seconds of Eastern Conference talk unsullied by sponsorship since whenever, just as EJ does.
It's true. That's true. Part of it is that like it's just not really my kind of content. I don't like watching people who don't watch basketball talk about basketball, and then. The other part of it too is that, like, on games that I would be watching that kind of a deal, like, I usually have work to do right after those games end. So while they're on the air, I tend to be on the air as well. All right. So today on the show, though, like I said, we're going to be talking about the West title tiers now, given some data to start the season. Who's moved? Who's done what? Bigger surprises on the negative side. Bigger surprises on the positive side, the Lakers being one of them. And that'll give us an opportunity to also talk about the Lakers within the construct of this entire brutal Western Conference, which is funny because, like, some teams don't look as good as I thought they would. You know, like Minnesota have been kind of meh. Mm-hmm. Have been kind of meh. Warriors a little whatever. But all that they're replaced by is, like, the Spurs, whose defense is swarming, and the Blazers, whose defense is also swarming. So it's like, okay, cool, yeah, all right. Oh man, all right. I guess it's just good, tough in a different way. So let's go ahead and dive on in.
All right.
The way that I did mine, and you tell me how you did yours. I wanted each tier to have at least two teams.
Wait, isn't that antithetical to tiers? Like, the tiers are to separate, right? So if you force two teams in a tier, then that doesn't really speak to the separation possibly.
Well, that was the thing, though, is that, like, I found out I didn't have to force anything, which was kind of nice. It broke down pretty well for me. I also kind of wanted to limit the number of tiers that I have, because eventually it just becomes a list.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of how I did mine. And I'll start with my top tier, my bona fide title contender tier.
Okay.
Upper level. The upper room, if you would like to say it that way. The OKC Thunder and Denver Nuggets. Mm-hmm. They reside in the penthouse for me. I'll start there. I won't say anything about them. Would you agree with that as the upper tier?
So I agree with that. I'm not forcing any number of teams into a tier, because I think it's meaningful to have as many teams fit in a tier as fit in a tier. But yes, I agree that that is the top tier. I actually, if you forced me to pick a title favorite right now, I would say Denver. I think Denver is better than OKC. So yeah. I'm fine with that as the top tier. Yeah.
It's funny because Cam Johnson really hasn't even been that good, but they still have the best half court offense in the sport.
Yes.
That's terrifying.
I mean, I don't find it that surprising.
No, I know, but that's terrifying.
They have the second best offensive player of all time in his prime. So, like, that's not that surprising to me, actually.
So you have it LeBron, then Jokic?
LeBron is quite clearly the best player of all time, but no, I do not have LeBron as the best offensive player of all time.
Unbelievable. It's crazy how, like, you just willingly walk into being wrong about stuff.
LeBron is quite clearly the best player ever.
So my thing with OKC and Denver is that Denver is offensively what OKC is defensively. And, you know, those are the two teams that, like, you know, for me, when I look at title contention and playoff worthiness, what's your best pitch? You know, like, well,
where's your fastball? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, can you, if you absolutely, like, to me, the series that Yoshinobu Yamamoto had against Toronto was defined by his fastball.
What sport is that?
Baseball. It was really cool thing. There's plenty of room on the Dodgers bandwagon. They're about to send another.
Absolutely not. I went I was at the Lakers game. What is today? On Wednesday, I went to the game, and it was Dodgers, you know, yay Dodgers day. And I had took some pictures with the trophy, went by the trophy and said hi to a couple of the guys, but no, we're not doing, no, I am not. I refuse. It was the World Series was compelling, though. I watched all of the World
That's
Series.
That's the best World Series ever.
It was quite compelling, but no, I'm not going to be a Dodgers fan. No.
Mookie at that game was not touching the ground is how well.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Did you see him when Marcus got the sixth foul on Wemby, and Mookie was reffing. Yeah.
Mookie, I think he might still be sitting in that seat. Like,
Mookie was, yeah, but the hand behind the head and everything. Yep.
I saw that, and I was like, man.
I thought he was going to call it. What was
that dude?
Is it Liam Neeson? No, who is? Oh, he's in the new one. It's Frank Drebin. What's what is that old movie that OJ's in?
Naked Gun.
Cop. Yeah, Naked Gun. Yeah, yeah. I thought he was going to start calling it like Frank Drebin when he pretends to be the ump and it's just like doing all kinds of dances. I thought Mookie was going
to. Yeah, that was I love my favorite part of that movie when I go back and rewatch it is how they do OJ, like all of the ways that they.
Oh, yeah. He just like gets
if beat anybody up, all these, deserved yeah, 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 to have what happened to them in the movie.
Yeah.
That guy. All right. So. Yeah, OKC's fastball hit they're like, you know, 98 mile an hour. Nowadays, everybody's throwing 101 mile an hour fastball. Is that defense? It is terrifying. It is suffocating. Seems like every other day they find some new 23-year-old who just steps in and just fits their system perfectly. So they to me, I think they're the most impressive organization in the NBA, you know, going from front office to coaching to players, sure, like easily, like they are kind of the class of the league in that regard. But Jokic is the best player in the world, and he is now. I think Luka is making a real case for it. I think Luka is doing some cool stuff that might put him into that category of player. But
I mean, I think Luka has had the best season thus far. But that's not quite enough to make him the best player in the world. Although he's in the cup. Well, actually,
if he keeps it up.
Well, hold on. Actually, he may not have, because Giannis has been an absolute.
Yeah.
And he's guarding again too, which is terrifying.
Kuz also playing well there in Milwaukee.
Recently.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this season he was not. No, good. I mean,
he didn't start this season well either, but recently he's been playing well. Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say in Denver, like their half court offense and their additions that they made over the summer, like they just fit so freaking perfectly. And I had Adam Mattis on the show heading into the season. Mm-hmm. And the way that I kind of described Denver, and he agreed, was that if they had this roster in last postseason, they would have beaten OKC in that series.
How about the last two posts? I mean, I think they would have beat OKC. I mean, who did they lose to? Did they lose to? Oh yeah. Minnesota. They lost to Minnesota. Yeah. They lost to Minnesota. They would have beaten Minnesota and beaten the Celtics, in my opinion.
Yeah. All they needed to do is fire Calvin Booth, turns out. And shouts to them for waiting two seasons too long. My next tier here, and this is where I have the Lakers, is.
Oh, let me say one more thing about that. The reason I have Denver ahead of OKC is because offense is just more important than defense. It's more valuable. Yeah. It's more important. It leads to winning more. KD's been at everybody's neck about that on Twitter, but offense is just more important than defense. So Denver's offense is terrifying. Cam Johnson hasn't been any good yet. If they get him going, like, Denver's pretty terrifying.
Jamal Murray, turns out when you're in shape at the beginning of the season, your team gets better.
And you know what the best part about it is? He's still not going to be an all-star. Yeah. Austin's going to take his spot this year. He's still not going to be an all-star.
I can't wait for the first
fan vote and how angry
people are going to get at Austin getting like top five votes.
I mean, going into I don't think it was Wednesday's game, whatever the game before that was, Monday maybe. There was a stat that they showed. It was on a national broadcast that Austin was second in the NBA in points and assists in total, like not averages, in total. He had the second most points and the second most assists in the NBA. It was a couple games ago, but
I mean, they front loaded the Lakers schedule, and Austin is the only Laker who has played in all or had played in all of those games, right? So
yes,
it would kind of make sense. And he's also put up, you know, great averages and stuff too. But yeah, so I am in the second tier. I have the Lakers, Rockets, and Timberwolves. You could convince me about putting Houston above the Lakers. I would not put Minnesota above the Lakers.
I would not put Minnesota in the same tier as the Lakers. I would put Houston in its own tier second, the second tier. I'd put Houston by itself. Okay. And then I would put the Lakers at the top of the next tier.
Then that's just a list.
I think there's a separation so far. I think there's a separation between Houston and the Lakers. Now when LeBron comes back, let's see what it all looks like. I think it is certainly reasonable to that the Lakers, you know, in the middle of the season, at the end of the season, are ahead of Houston as far as who I think has the best chance to win the title. But yeah, I need to see what it looks like with LeBron.
So you based on that response, it doesn't seem like you're in the category of people who are wondering if LeBron coming back is a bad thing.
He was second team all NBA last year. What, like, and he's the smartest player. What are you talking about? He's the smartest player like in the history of Earth. He's the best player in the history of Earth and was second team all NBA last year. Why would you not want to bring like a completely malleable superstar back to a team? What are those people talking about? And the trade, hey, is it time to trade LeBron? Absolute nonsense.
It's craziness. Well, because the other thing too is that, like, so the people who are saying like trade LeBron, they seem to ignore that he has a no trade clause, and he would turn down any trade that puts him in a worse spot than he's in right now.
Okay, and find another team that is going to give up 50 whatever million dollars worth of stuff to get him for possibly
rental
a few months. Like, what? It's silliness.
Dallas might, because they need to blow it up anyway. But no, I wanted to pick up on that point with LeBron. And you are obviously much closer to the team than I am on a daily basis. And I had some people angry at me because I noticed in that first game that LeBron didn't move off of his seat, didn't interact with anybody, did that all of preseason. And that was basically how he was, you know. And he didn't send a single tweet talking about the additions that the Lakers made over the offseason.
Body language expert Anthony is still around in my
he's
time.
He's never going anywhere.
Still around. All right.
It's good content.
Yeah.
But like I would also say, though, if I'm going to overanalyze that stuff, I'm going to overanalyze what he's been doing lately, where he has been very engaged on the sideline. He's been participating in some of the huddles. He's been talking to guys when they come to the sideline. He's up and he's cheering and he's doing that stuff. And look, like you always like to point out, there are plenty of explanations that could explain like what else might've been going on there. His back might've been hurting him. It makes it, as he's felt better and getting closer to his return, he's more comfortable getting up off of his seat. There could be any number of explanations, but to me, I also think, you know, we can't ignore, he wasn't all that thrilled over the offseason about the lack of extension talks. And you could say Hennessy is delicious here if you'd like. But the lack of extension discussions between the Lakers and him and Clutch for, you know, over the summer, that didn't sit very well with him. And then he extends that into this upcoming season with, you know, not being available and then not being available on the sidelines either, it felt like. And then now the team looks good. You had the report also, by the way, of Shams saying that he's going to closely monitor this situation and see what his future might be after that. That stuff doesn't come out of nowhere either. So, but I do think, though, that the Lakers got off to a really good start, right? They're 7-2. I would have them in the same grouping with Houston because we know that we're getting LeBron back at some point. I do think that, like, these are two different situations or an evolving situation. And now he kind of looks around. He's like, huh, this team might be pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Lakers are good. More than just pretty good. I think the Lakers are good. And I think it's fair. You know, what you're saying is fair. You know, you can make an argument that, thank you, Kyle. Love you too. I think it's fair to, you know, to read that and think maybe LeBron is looking at, wow, this team is pretty good without me, and I do have a chance here in getting more involved. I wouldn't say, though, I think the part of the premise is a little off with, you know, him being upset about, you know, the extension talks or lack thereof, possibly. I think it had more to do with LeBron coming to the realization and Clutch coming to the realization that for the first time in LeBron's career, he doesn't get to pull all the strings. And I think it was more of a sort of petulant like reaction to how that felt more so than a disappointment or dissatisfaction with the team. I think LeBron knew that the team was going to be pretty good and was happy about, I know he was happy about the moves that were happening over the summer. So I think it was just kind of like a sort of weird emotional reaction to like, wait, my like my worldview, that like how I've operated my world of for the last whatever 20, well, really like 25 or so years, is not I am in complete command of. I think it was kind of just more of a like of a reaction to that that did not go particularly well because it didn't do anything and he didn't have any options. What was he gonna do?
Well, that's what
I'm gonna monitor the situation. Okay, monitor it. Like, and do what? Go ahead, man.
I did have a little bit of fun. Harrison and I had a little bit of fun of over the phrasing. It was like LeBron is gonna monitor the situation. Like, cool. What is he gonna do otherwise? Is he gonna face the wrong way during games? Like, what?
Yeah. I monitor the situation too. Like, okay, all right, man.
I don't know.
I will say this.
I feel like you monitor other situations at the games while you're there.
I monitor all things. but I mean, like, I guess the point of all of this, even if you're correct, and I think like you're partially correct. I don't know that you're correct. I think it's a fair read on it. Even so, like, okay, if it took a little bit for LeBron to like get fully emotionally invested in this, and now he is.
Like, that's all okay. That matters.
Like, okay. Right. All right, man.
Yeah, no, like that was part of my thing was, you know, coming into the season. And that's why I got a little frustrated with like the way that training camp was handled and preseason games were handled was like the Lakers have to get off to a really good start. So, and one of the reasons for it was so that LeBron could be emotionally invested when the time comes that he returns. And so that you can keep the Ruiz of the world and Aitons and Smarts of the world who are all on these expiring contracts invested into the larger team-wide goal here. And I do kind of think that like free agents and players and agents are starting to kind of come to grips with and recognize that the best way to get paid in the NBA is to help teams win. You'd still have outliers, you know, you have the Jonathan Kuminga situation over the summer and you have some of these other guys who think that their best chance at getting paid is still to just go out there and get buckets. But I still believe, or I'm starting to think that the rest of the league is starting to get, okay, buy into the team concept, be involved with a winner, be important to a winning situation. And whether it's staying in that organization and getting paid that way, or having another team take notice of the way that you are impacting winning there, that's the best way to get paid. And I think all of these Lakers, by way of winning, are all kind of bought into that because Lakers have a shit ton of cap space after this season, and why not keep the group together if that's a possibility?
So I think that is astute, and one of the reasons for that is because guys generally get paid off of the playoffs, right? If you have a good season and then you continue that during the playoffs, it's why this year has been so important for Austin because he was not particularly good in the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously being in a winning situation, you get to show more and more and more what you can do in the playoffs. And that obviously turns some heads. But the other part of it is that is especially true in a handful of places. There is like a little extra shine you get from a handful of places in the NBA, the Lakers being the top of that list.
Yeah. Yeah. The Warriors, I think also like,
it was more true for the Warriors like 3-4 years ago when they were a dynasty, there was kind of the little warrior shine for coaches and players to go elsewhere. That is always true of the Lakers, even when the Lakers aren't particularly good.
But yeah, no, I mentioned the Warriors because like, you know, the Kuminga was the, I mean, it was the most anybody has ever covered a mid player ever.
Although, to be fair to JK, he has been damn good this year.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that like if what he could have done is take the qualifying offer, play this way, and his market would have been insane. But like, I'm also fine with him taking the deal that he took, getting paid a good and fair amount, continuing to play like this, and then when it comes time for his next contract, Golden State's going to take care of
him. But here's why you don't do that. Jonathan, in NBA terms, Jonathan Kuminga has never made any money, right? He's never made any money. In NBA terms, obviously, you know, he's going to be just fine and has made a bunch of money compared to, you know, the rest of the world. But two reasons. What if he gets hurt? You better lock in that money. I'm confused why he didn't take the 2+1, but whatever. We'll put that aside for now. You take that money, you're still betting on yourself. The other part of it is if he takes $8 million and has a no trade, implied no trade This is the first time I'm talking. I've been podcasted in a minute. Hold on. Let me take a sip of something for I can, you know, collect myself. He would have an implied no trade clause in his contract had he signed the qualifying offer, which was also, I don't know, 8 or 9 million. The Warriors have no incentive to play him at all because they can't trade him for anything. So why not, in this case at least, the Warriors have incentive to play him and try to make him look great, as he has, to increase his trade value. Plus, you know, they can trade him for a lot more. So, but yes, the Warriors are another one of those teams where just being there puts a little extra shine on you. But the Lakers are at the top of that list.
So I'm curious why you have Houston above the Lakers to the extent of having them in a completely different tier. I could see having Houston in the same tier as the Lakers, but higher up in that tier than the Lakers are. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they're so good that I would have them in a completely different tier.
So the answer to that question is I have to plug my computer in before this podcast shuts down. The answer to that question is because I had Houston ahead to begin with. And there hasn't been enough yet. The Lakers have looked excellent so far, but Houston's been damn good too. So there hasn't been enough yet to like take me off of that stance. And Houston's offense is diabolical. Houston's offense is a monster. And they've fared reasonably well without, there's been some clunky moments, but they fared reasonably well without a point guard, with Amen Thompson kind of as their point. I'm not kind of, he is their point guard. So it doesn't, which is why I said earlier that I think it's very possible that the Lakers, you know, a month from now, 4 months from now, I could have the Lakers ahead of the Rockets. But because I had the Rockets ahead going in, there hasn't been enough yet to move me off of that. And as I said earlier, I want to see what this looks like with LeBron.
The reason, or the top reason I'm open to this being a conversation here between the Lakers and Rockets, comes down to the point differential. You know, that point differential is always a stat, and it's, you know, highly manipulated early on in a season, but 10-ish games in, Rockets have the best point differential in the sport.
Yeah, their offense is a monster, and their defense was incredible last year. Their defense is good,
And so, like, if based on point differential alone, you wanted to lump Houston up with OKC and Denver, I honestly would be open to that conversation. Especially like, you know, now that player isn't on, or this player isn't on their roster right now, but I do think eventually they'll add a point guard.
They have to trade for one, but they are going to have to give up stuff.
Buy low on Reed Shepard and
they're not trading,
send over like a mediocre point guard.
They're not trading Reed Shepard for a mediocre point guard.
I think they might hate that dude on a personal level.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but they just drafted him third 2 years ago. Are you saying Ime Udoka would not want to coach the exciting Whites Lakers lineup? Is that what you're saying?
No, because I think the exciting Whites guys on the Lakers team defend. I don't think Shepard defends. And I think if you watch like Austin, he at least competes defensively.
Austin tries. Yeah, I'll give you that. He tries. Yeah,
Reed doesn't try.
Yeah, okay. Neither does Luka. Neither does Dalton.
Well, Dalton, I don't think he's going to be a Laker by the end of the year. And then, like, he's not lumped into the exciting Whites.
Actually, that's not fair to Luka. Luka tries.
Yeah, Luka's been.
Luka tries most of the time when he gets back, because he didn't like complain about a call. Yeah, Luka tries.